In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we've come to now 2 weeks of Great Lent. The purpose of Great Lent is to be able to open ourselves up to God so that we can feel the resurrection. It's a time of improvement. It should be a time of joy. But sometimes it's a time of difficulty. It's a time of thinking, well, I didn't really do very good. I haven't started out very well. Or I kind of blew that already. Or I haven't really started to pray yet, or I'm not reading like I should. It's a lot of stuff that we say we didn't do, we couldn't do. And there's a lot of negativity sometimes associated with Great Lent. I've gone through that before too. But Great Lent is really a time of anticipation. It should be a time of happiness. Now, what keeps us from having that happiness? I think it's the press that's mentioned in this gospel today, where the paralytic is healed. He had to get through the press. Of course, that's an archaic word. That means the crowd. But theologically, it means a lot more than just a crowd of people. The press is what gets in our way of having peace with God, peace with ourselves, calmness in our heart, happiness. The press gets in the way. There's a lot of things involved in the press. It's described as a historical event here where the sick of the palsy cannot get in because of the huge crowd of people that was in the house. And so the four that were bearing him went up on the roof, put a hole in the roof, and let him down so that he would be right in front of Christ. And of course the Lord responded, as the evangelist says, and the Lord seeing their faith said unto the sick of the palsy, thy son, thy sins be forgiven. And then the rest transpired where people judged Christ and thought, how can he say sins be forgiven, etc. So the Lord completed the healing by telling the sick of the palsy to get up and take his bed and walk. There's great symbolism in those two healings, because our healing must be twofold. We have to be forgiven of our sins. God will forgive us. God will help us. But also there has to be where we can take up our bed and walk. Because salvation is not just the forgiveness of sins, it's the perfection of man. It's peace in our souls and in our hearts. And I can tell you from experience, a forgiven sinner still doesn't have peace in his heart. You have to be changing, coming closer to the light, to the warmth of God, and then there's peace in your heart. So how do we do this? Well, there's a lot of practical things. You can read all kinds of practical treatises on prayer and on other such things, and they're important. I've read a lot of them. But it boils down to this. I came up with a kind of an idea of what is the press? And I came up with, I guess, a lot of alliteration, a lot of P's. I don't want to be too cute here. But really, the press is these things in our life. First of all, our passions. People that get in our way. Sometimes, we'll go into that a little deeper. Our past. That is a big thing. Our past performance. Because we tend to think of ourselves as not being able to change. We see that we messed up before. We're going to mess up again. The patterns in which we live our life, that's a really big one. Most pastoral work is helping people to change the patterns of their life. They say, I never have time for prayer. Well, let's find a way to do something. I don't fast, or I can't fast because I always am weak. Well, let's find something you can fast from. Let's find something you can do, even something small, to change the pattern of your life. Things are so busy that you don't have time for reading, for prayer, to hear yourself think. That's a big one. And also our priorities. Perhaps that with the passions is the biggest of all. Because if you don't really want to change, I mean, really want to change, you're not gonna. Doesn't matter how much you say you believe in God. Doesn't matter how many prayers you say. If you really don't recognize that there's something wrong with you and needs to change, you're not going to change. You have to recognize that. And your priorities have to be that this is what's most important in your life. To know God, to know Him intimately, to change in your heart so that the things that are in your heart get out and the good things of God get in. It's very important to have good priorities. Now, I've been preaching recently on Psalm 118. I've gotten all the way through 15 verses out of 176, so it's going to be a long time before it's finished. But basically, this psalm is about the ways of God, the law of God, the commandments of God. It's about who God is, really, and about how we can think and act to know the law of God and to know, therefore, God. So, the press is what keeps us from knowing God. You have to continually hone your priorities. All the time, every day. And I've given you examples, practical examples on how to do it, you know. Keeping a fast helps to hone your priorities. That God is more important than food. Coming to the church services, extra ones that normally you don't go to. That hones your priorities. Reading the Gospels, which we should as a parish, as a family, be doing right now. We're pretty much at the end of Matthew now. We should be reading the Gospels daily. And the Psalter. Those are my two biggest recommendations from the Scriptures. The Psalter and the Gospels. Because they really help you to hone your priorities. The Psalter's full of it. All the time. Almost everything in the Psalter is about how to react to sin, how to react to our feelings. You got to learn to change your priorities. If you think your priorities are good, then I don't want to insult anyone, but you're a fool. You don't have good priorities. Not completely. If you had good priorities, you wouldn't sin. So the fact that we sin, the fact that we forget God so often, means our priorities are messed up. So we need to work on them. It's a big deal. And the way you learn is by doing and reacting as God manifests Himself in your life. Now, He's going to manifest Himself in everybody's life, including unbelievers' lives. But if they don't react to Him, if they don't bring Him in, if they don't accept Him, then it is like the seed that falls by the wayside, and it just gets gobbled up by the demons, by the birds, and there's nothing salvific. So God is continually manifesting Himself to you in order for you to change, for you to become more perfect, for you to have Him in you and feel Him. So you have to be changing your priorities every day. It's very, very important. And then our passions truly obscure us from the vision of God. An angry man can't know God. A jealous man, one who has bad thoughts about people, lazy, all the rest. You can't know God if you are slaves to your passions. So really, Christianity is the gradual and the sure eradication of the passions. And as these passions are eradicated, then we know God more intimately. It happens. I can tell by my experience. I still feel very far from God, but a lot closer than when I was 20. Things are different. There's not as much noise from the passions in my life as when I was younger. And I hope you're experiencing that too. And perhaps you say, I have no idea what he's talking about. I still feel all messed up. It's all right. Because if you have the right priorities that you want to change, you will. Remember the man who said, I believe, help my unbelief. Everybody should say that with conviction. And then these things that get in the way of the knowledge of God and in your peace, they will go away. Now, they won't go away instantly. They'll go away with labor, with effort. Now, our past is a huge part of the press that obscures us and keeps us from God. Don't go on the basis of what you did. If your sins are forgiven, God has put them as far away from you as the east is from the west. So how come you use them as a barometer of what you're going to do tomorrow? It's not right. Now, yeah, it's true that if you're weak in certain things, you're not going to become strong instantaneously. I mean, we're not supposed to play mind games with ourselves and just believe all is well. But our sins, if we think about them and our past and our past experiences, our mistakes that we made, they can just annihilate us. Our thoughts can just eat us alive. So you must learn to have a positive outlook. Now, some people think positively and less like, I'm not a sinner. I don't really do that bad. I'm pretty good. You know, I don't do any big sins. That's not a positive outlook. That's just foolishness. That's just delusion. By positive, I mean that you're like the man. I believe, help my unbelief. You're like the publican who says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what does it say about him? He went away justified. That means that God gave him comfort in his prayer. Although his prayer didn't sound very comforting, it didn't sound very confident. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, pounding his breast, looking down at the ground. It sounds like he was quite frightened, but he went away justified. You have to believe that God will help you. There's examples all over the scripture of this, if you have eyes to see them. Don't let your past keep you down. Your past is in the past. You can't change any of it. But you can change the person you are. It's the whole point of Christianity. You can become different by the grace of God. It will happen. So don't let your past keep you in chains. Now, let's talk about a really big one. Patterns. The way you live your life. Constantly, as a pastor, I'm trying to help people just to make small incremental changes in their life to see some success. It's very, very important. Some of you perhaps find it very difficult to fast. That's why I say, come to me and talk to me. Then we work out something to help you to fast from something. I've even, with people before, gotten them to eat chicken instead of hamburger on a given day. And that was successful. Because they could change that behavior because they just couldn't keep from eating hamburgers. Then they started eating chicken. And then eventually they got the fish. And then eventually they were able to not eat meat on a fast day. With some people, that's what has to happen, incremental changes like that. But with all of us, we must learn to change our patterns. We must learn to carve out time for prayer. If you think you don't have any time for prayer, I'll tell you what, you don't. But if you say, I gotta pray, I must pray, I need to breathe, and I need to pray. Those are the things I need today. If that's the way you look at prayer, then you will have time for prayer. You will find a way. You'll set your alarm clock 15 minutes early. Maybe you won't listen to the radio, and you'll pray the Jesus prayer in your car. Maybe you'll go to work 15 minutes early and sit in the parking lot, nice and quiet. You'll find a way to pray. So you've got to change things. If something's not working, you've got to change it up a little bit. Talk to me about that. Because just changing everything completely is just not a good idea. One time somebody came to me and wanted to fast on Monday and wanted to not eat until 5 o'clock in the afternoon on all fast days and all this stuff. And this was a person that wasn't even saying their prayers consistently. That, I didn't think that was a good idea. Make small changes. The first change is say your morning prayers. Then maybe you can add your evening prayers. and other such things as that. So it's really important to change things in your life that aren't working. And God will give you the wisdom to do it. It can't happen all at once. You know, when I was younger, I had incredible energy. I still have a lot of energy. Thank God for that. But there was a lot of energy, but it was dissipated in a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff started and not finished, and just not enough focus. Because I made lots of changes, lots of times, and too many changes and too many times, and it just got confusing, and it just was hard to manage. So really, just make sure you pray and make sure you read the scriptures and make sure you fast. And if you can't do any one of those three things well, then do all three of them, at least do them. If you do them not so well, at least you're doing them. It's important. And then I would add also, make sure that if you have patterns in how you deal with people, just learn to make some change about your dealings with people. If you're irritable, do something. Maybe you can't always stop being irritable. You know, that's a very difficult passion and sin, because it's really in many ways involuntary. It's a hard one to stop. So do something about it. Maybe you're not able to stop being irritable, but you are capable of saying you're sorry, right? You're capable of thinking immediately when you're irritable to say, forgive me. If you have to say forgive me 100 times in a day, then you do it. But you know, if you do it 100 times in a day, most likely the next day it's going to be 90. And the day after that it's going to be 80. Because God is going to honor your effort. You might feel silly doing something and saying you're sorry, thinking, you know, it doesn't sound like I'm sorry that I'm doing it over and over again. But you know, it's not silly, because you're making a change. And God will honor that. This works with everything. You come up with a sin. You come up with a bad pattern in the way you live. You can make some changes. And God will honor those changes. God will help you. This is Great Lent. This is the period in which we make changes. Not great sweeping changes. Very few people are able to do that. We're going to read about one who did that just in a couple weeks, St. Mary of Egypt. She changed her whole life just in a matter of moments. But most people can't do that. We generally can't. So just be satisfied right now with making small changes. Make sure that you pray. If you do not pray every day, find some way to do it. If you do not read the scriptures every day, find some way to do it. You can do it. You're intelligent. You can figure it out. And God will help you. Now, I don't advise you, if you're not reading the scriptures, to say, okay, I'm going to read one book of the Bible every day. That's not going to work. You might do it for 2 days, and then you won't do it for 2 weeks. You could say, okay, I'll read a chapter, or I'll read a page, or I'll read for 5 minutes, or I'll read what's on my phone. That's a useful one, because everybody's got a phone, and I'll read what the calendar says on the phone. Maybe I'll read it on the train, or I'll read it before work, or I'll read it after I get home from work, or something. Make little changes. All this that I'm talking about is to help you to make changes in your life and to go forward and not to feel like you're stuck. As a pastor, I see that a lot of us feel we're stuck. And, you know, I go through feeling stuck all the time. I have to fight it constantly. So I'm really speaking of you partially autobiographically. Really, that's somebody once told me that all good sermons are autobiographical. And I think that's basically correct, because I'm a sinner helping other sinners not to sin. It's one of my definitions of the priesthood. So let's work together. Small things. Don't let the press get in your way. When you hear those voices, do not listen to them. You know, we're sort of, our life is sort of like, you know, a cartoon in a way. You know, the cartoons where the good angel will be on one side and the bad angel's on the other and telling them, you know, you do this. No, you shouldn't do that. I think that's what's happening to us all the time. The evil one is continually whispering in our ear, don't bother the master, she's already dead. In other words, you're not going to really get this done, so why don't you just give up now? Look at your past. Your past shows you're not going to get it done. You've been messing up on this for all your life. Look at your present. Ah, come on, you say you're a Christian, you don't even do this, that, and the other thing. All these thoughts that the evil one brings up in our hearts. Don't believe them. Just do not believe him. Just believe that God will save you. God will help you. Oh, believe you're unworthy. If you don't believe you're unworthy, then you're pretty much lost. Because we have to feel our unworthiness. But not the unworthiness in such a way that we feel completely worthless and incompetent. We're not worthless and incompetent. God abides within us. How dare we think that? God will help us. He is strong. With men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So let's believe it. So let's just get rid of the press. Push your way through the press. Oh, one other thing to mention that I kind of have, but there was a lot of effort to get that man down to see Christ. I mean, they had to think about a solution. They had to climb up on the roof. They had to bust through somebody else's roof. They had to lower him down. First of all, the man had four friends who loved him enough to carry him there. You've got to have effort. You've got to have effort to be able to be saved. You can't just sit around and say, man, I just can't get this done. You can't do that. You got to have effort. And then God will help you. So I see this, I guess like most of the gospel stories, all the gospel stories to me are about healing. And this one's about healing. It's not about healing the paralytic. He's already been healed. It's about healing you and me. So let's listen to what the Lord is telling us. And let's work on the things that get in the way. The crowd, the press. God will help you. May God give you happiness. May God give you desire. And may God give you a certain feeling that you can get rid of the press. Because you can. It's not always going to be easy. But God will help you. Amen.